Radio Prague News. The Czech Republic has proposed that the Visegrad Group states jointly protect Hungary's stretch of Schengen's outer border. A grouping of Czech NGOs has called for a better approach to migrants, and Lehouse deputies have approved a higher consumer tax on cigarettes and tobacco. The Czech Republic has proposed that the Visegrad Group states jointly protect Hungary's stretch of Schengen's outer border, Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka wrote on Twitter on Friday. According to the Czech Prime Minister, the interior ministers of the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary and Poland will meet to discuss the details on October 8th. According to Czech Interior Minister Milan Chovanec, the Czech Republic would be prepared to send over 100 soldiers and police officers as well as technology. Hungarian officials have also spoken about the possibility of joint protection of the country's southern border. As an EU buffer state, Hungary has been hard hit by the migrant crisis. The Lower House of Parliament has approved an amendment to the country's asylum law, tightening the conditions under which asylum can be granted. For instance, foreign nationals requesting asylum would have to get a health certificate ruling out infectious diseases, and the authorities would have the right to reject asylum if the applicant has been convicted of a serious crime or presents a security threat. Foreign nationals who commit serious crimes and are sentenced to more than 3 years in jail or repeat offenders can be stripped of their residence permits. On the other hand, the amendment will enable those who are granted asylum to start work after 6 months rather than waiting for a whole year. The bill received broad support across the political spectrum and will now go to the Senate for debate. A consortium of 18 Czech non-governmental organizations working with migrants has issued a document in which it outlines the basic principles the country should adhere to in dealing with immigrants. The principles relate to the country's asylum policy, social rights, education, work and other spheres. NGOs have repeatedly criticized the government for the country's treatment of migrants, particularly the fact that they're held captive in detention centers, including small children, and have their money and phones taken away from them. Critics say that migrants are viewed merely as a security threat and migrant-related issues are left to the Interior Ministry instead of meriting a comprehensive approach from various institutions. The Lower House of Parliament has approved a bill which would gradually raise consumer tax on cigarettes and tobacco products in the course of the next 3 years. The first hike would take place on January 1st of 2016 and increase the price of a packet of cigarettes by 3 to 4 crowns. The increase in state revenues would amount to 3.3 billion crowns in 2016 and 1.5 billion in the following 2 years. The bill will now go to the Senate. The Lower House of Parliament has approved an amendment to the law on the conditions of issuing IDs and certificates. The proposed changes would increase the price of an express biometric passport to 4,000 crowns, up from the present 1,500. Such a document would be ready within 6 days instead of a fortnight, and it would not have restricted validity. The basic cost of a biometric passport, which is issued within 30 days, would remain 600 crowns. People over 70 years of age would get IDs with a validity of 35 years instead of the present 10, to save them the bother of having to get them renewed. Czech actor Lubomír Lipský has died at the age of 92. The actor, who appeared in hundreds of film and theatre performances, died in hospital after a bout of pneumonia. Lipský co-founded the Prague Theatre of Satire and since 1996 was a member of the Divadlo ABC Theatre House. In film, he excelled as a comic actor. In 2005, he received the prestigious Thalia Award for lifelong contribution to theatre. In 2008, the František Filipovský Prize for Dubbing, and in 2013 he was inducted into the Hall of Fame and received a Medal of Merit from President Miloš Zeman. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be bright and sunny with day temperatures between 18 and 21 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, has the Czech Republic's position on refugee quotas harmed relations with Germany. We have a roundup of business news. And later, what is the post-internet era? We'll be finding out from one of the organisers of a new exhibition in Prague. All that's coming up in today's programme. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka says that Czech-German relations are the best they've ever been. This statement follows a press report quoting diplomats as saying that ties were, in fact, at their lowest point in 20 years. The reason? Differences over refugee quotas. So has there been a political cost to the Czech Republic's stand on the issue? Jan Wellinger discussed the matter with Vladimír Handl, an expert on Czech-German relations at Prague's Institute of International Relations.
It is a bizarre phenomenon that a refugee crisis should be really understood on the left, it should be understood in the Christian Party and in liberal parties as well. So there should be at least cooperative approach and understanding on the side of Czech parties, but you don't see this there. So the first reason is this populist trap that they really opened door to the populist rhetoric, and now they have a difficulty; they can't really take it back so easily. And secondly, the parties are very weak; they are really just administrative units, I would say.
This contrasts starkly with the original intent, say, of the coalition government, which was supposed to take a different tack than the previous center-right governments, which were cooler to Europe. It was originally the Prime Minister's intent to take the Czech Republic back to the center, was it not? But now they've been tested quite strongly by the crisis.
Yes, I think that the Social Democratic Party and the center-left government really wanted to take back the Czech Republic into the mainstream of European policymaking. And nominally, they did, really, or they have, because they signed the fiscal pact and they made the right noises and they supported, basically, the German standing on Euro crisis and further the reform of the European Union. But in fact, in detail, what the Czech Republic and Czech diplomacy in the European Union did, was mostly on this active side, representing very practical Czech interests concerning the sectoral policies, the funding from the funds of the European Union. And the Czech Republic and Czech diplomacy was not really particularly active since the government is in power or in place. So I wouldn't see a great qualitative change. I see rather the nominal change towards mainstream policymaking. And now with the specific attitude, a very defensive attitude to the refugee crisis, I really don't see the Czech policy now in the mainstream.
It's hard to obviously know where things will go, but it seems that all politicians agree that the migrant crisis is not going to go away anytime soon. Do you think that there will be some kind of overhaul of the government position regarding that, which will be more in line with Germany and the other major European players?
I assume that the government right now is seeking a compromise and a way how to smooth things and how to work, find a cooperative attitude. Czech Republic as a partner has really, well, its image has been very, very heavily damaged in Germany and in some other European countries. Czech political parties really will have a difficulty to sort of refrain the whole crisis and to argue in favor of a more sort of cooperative attitude. This surely will last quite long for the Czech policymaking to deal with this kind of damage which has been done to the image of Czech policy and to the understanding of the image of Czech Republic in Germany. Czech Republic is a partner which is able for solidarity and cooperative solutions.
That was Vladimír Handl from the Institute of International Relations here in Prague. And now I'm joined by Chris Johnstone, who has a collection of business stories from this week.
The Czech Ministry of Finance, headed by businessman Andrej Babiš, is showing exceptional clemency towards companies. Last year, the ministry pardoned unpaid tax totaling around 6 billion crowns and forgave interest and penalties amounting to 5 billion crowns. Those figures represent jumps of around 200% and more than 150% respectively on the year before. Authorities say one of the reasons for the increase is a change in the European rules for clawing back funds.
The Czech furniture sector is expecting a record year for sales this year. The Czech Association of Furniture Makers says turnover in 2015 should total around 43 billion crowns. That's around 3 billion crowns more than in 2014. Around half of Czech production is exported, with the biggest buyer neighbouring Germany. But imports, mostly from Poland and China, account for almost half of furniture sales on the domestic Czech market.
Japanese car components producer Sobi Komoto has chosen the Czech Republic for its first European factory. The company is investing around 440 million crowns in a plant near the central Bohemian city of Kolín for producing timing systems for car engines. Production at the plant should start in 2017. The company will be the fourth Japanese investor attracted to the industrial zone on the outskirts of the town. The Japanese company looked at other investment possibilities in the region, including Slovakia.
Czech-Slovak drinks company Kofola this week made its debut on the Prague Stock Exchange. It's been given what's termed a technical listing, with no shares as yet changing hands. The latest move follows the switch of the drinks company headquarters from Warsaw to Ostrava, and the listing raises expectations that Kofola sales will be fully launched and trading on the Prague Stock Exchange by the end of the year. A prospectus paving the way for the launch of the shares has already been cleared by the Czech National Bank. Kofola is one of the leading non-alcoholic drinks companies in Central Europe.
And finally, telecommunications company O2 is playing hardball over the rights to screen top football games from the Champions League in the Czech Republic. It won an order from a Prague court this week demanding cable companies blackout images of the top games shown on foreign television channels available in the Czech Republic. O2 won the rights to screen most of the top football games on its television and cable channels for this and the next two seasons, sharing a few games with Czech public broadcaster Czech Television. O2 is owned by the PPF company of the richest Czech, Petr Kellner.
Now, in the last part of our programme today, we hear about a new exhibition here in Prague. That's in this week's edition of The Arts with Jan Wellinger.
Containera, or Containera, is a project bringing together the work of eight up-and-coming European artists from major cities, including Prague, Rome, or Berlin. Each artist's work, installed in an actual transport container, is being rotated from city to city and put on display in outdoor locations. Overall, the project is aimed at tackling expectations about the presentation and dissemination of artwork in what many increasingly refer to as the post-internet era. I spoke to Alexandra Karpuchina, one of three young women who put the project together. We began first by discussing what post-internet means in art terms.
In our understanding, it's a new term of something which is very actual today, and it's actually losing the interference between real world and virtual world. When we the overlaps of these two realities are so common that we actually lose the understanding and actually we live the reality in this virtual reality.
For example, if you take internet art, does post-internet mean that they will shun, say, tools, online tools or internet tools, or that they will use them for their own devices and create something that is physical or actual to be seen in some one place?
I think some of, I would say, post-internet artwork don't even have to be digital or working with this internet medium or some new media. It's more about analysis what's happening today, what's happening in this interference. The medium can be any kind of medium. It's kind of interesting also when some artist takes this old-fashioned media like painting or sculpture, and he's working or she's working with a new methodology, in the new way, with symbols, with a new iconography, with a new lifestyle, and this when it's projected to this old type media that comes quite interesting works too.
And now I've read that there were three of you involved in putting together the idea for this very unusual exhibition. Who are the three of you, and how did it all come together? Who came up with the idea to use the actual corrugated shipping containers?
That weird idea was mine. And I'm originally an artist, so it was kind of a wide artistic idea with no concrete specific leadings and practical usage of it. And then I hooked up with my two friends, and one of them was art curator Magdalena, the second was a project manager Jana, and together these like initiating ideas plus intellectual background plus some practical shaping of this whole thing came up to this project, I would say, because there are 8 exhibitions, so we call it project.
And to put it simply, the containers themselves serve as mobile galleries.
Yes, actually we take them as informational units. What we actually do is, what we want to do is this materialization of visual information when you have a photography on the internet, and this photography is shared unchanged, and it's a visual information which stays the same, but our understanding of it is changed by the surrounding or circumstances it's presented. It's different when you share a photography on Google or on Wikipedia or in the email, and also the person who gives to you this information also kind of shapes your understanding of it. So that's what we want to do, but in materialized, more complicated form. So these containers, units, are transferring units of visual information, and this information is unchanged and just surrounding the space around where it's presented is changed. And it's very interesting because they are small units, and you cannot not think about it without the surrounding extents. It's the surrounding plays an important role in obtaining information of these exhibitions. So
when you say surrounding, do you mean the walls of the container or the architecture around?
Architecture and the space around. Actually, we analyze if the site-specific aspect in this project, if it's really important, if it influences the experience from exhibition, and if the exhibition which is installed, for example, in Warsaw, and working with the space around this container in Warsaw, when it's taken away from it and transferred somewhere else, if it works the same for different people in different space, for example, in Rome.
When someone is viewing the exhibit, do you think that to a certain degree the container disappears? Because to my mind, it's ever-present. It's a frame. It retains the piece inside or the installation in its original form, but at the same time, it's impossible to avoid the container itself. So let's talk a little bit about that interplay.
It's true that it's so neutral space. It's just like a white cube in the gallery. And it is the same for each exhibition. Then when you see more exhibition coming, and the exhibition is changing in just this little box, it's actually changing, but it looks still the same. And you start to think about this installation out of box, I would say. And you start to compare these different installations with the space you know. And that was what we were looking for also.
The point, or one of the points, was to highlight or emphasize the work of 8 up-and-coming artists. Do they sort of share a similar cultural space? Because if I'm not mistaken, they're all from Central Europe. So I imagine there must be some interesting similarities, but perhaps differences as well.
That's another layer of the project, actually. We want to see if there are like local influences, national influences still projected on the actual art, because today we have this global world and the actual art is spreading very 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 widely, and actually the tendencies looks like they're common, but we wanted to see if there is some rest or some little pieces left in us from our heritage, from our roots, and if it can be seen, if it can be projected and then understood in actual art. And all our artists are young, multimedia artists. They actually come from Central and Western Europe. It's a global world, global sharing, but local units and local cultural influences we are working with.
I'm still thinking about the different layers of the meaning of the container. When you look at actual like shipping routes, it's the same container, the same box, but those are networks as well. So I'm wondering, this is like a physical network going from city to city.
This shifting unit is very common to spread goods, to exchange what is common for local cultures or local countries. So it's a symbol of sharing for us, like this material sharing of anything. And we thought it could be interesting to a little bit in some kind of way degrade art, like degradation of art. And let's, like, today we work with goods, we are overloaded of everything, and the art also it's on internet, everybody's artist, and everybody makes like great photos and stuff. So we wanted to work with this idea to just like let us share and let us make it common and let us make let us commonize the interest of for the art also, because we wanted to take it out from the galleries and wanted to bring it to the streets and to the people which might not come to it normally. So
Adela Sochkova was one of the artists who was chosen. She's chosen for the Czech leg, if I can put it in those terms. Could you describe a little bit the installation that she put together, some of its sensibilities, the balance?
Adela is a very interesting young Czech artist. She's already quite well known on the Czech art scene, and she was a choice of our curator because she's personal, she's very intuitive, but in the meantime she has very good acknowledge of symbolic meanings, and she uses this acknowledge with deep messages. And she's also a performer. She does a loads of kind of installations. She's really multimedia-listic in this sense. For this container, there are like several quite expressive drawings, and she digitalizes, and she uses a very like typical Czech symbols like in history. But she's reverting them and changing them in her sense, in for her concept. And in the installation, there is a table. There is a table as a symbol of getting together, the family and roots. And there are these digitalized hand drawings. There is a sound installation which goes to it, and she's working with the idea of touch. How the touch, which was very personal in the time before, how it became unpersonal. It became our tool to control things, to control medias and digital medias, telephones. And actually she's analyzing the moves of fingers also, what before it meant to us, and now what these very personal private things became like just a tool of work with the electronics.
Swiping and so on.
Yes.
So we have 8 different cities that are involved in the project, 8 different containers, different artists' work. Now, how does it work logistically in terms of shifting them all around? That can't be easy.
It is a little bit complicated, just a tiny bit. We work with 8 partners in these 8 cities. They are in charge of these local units and local expositions. And there is a circle road on which the containers, the exhibitions, the installations are traveling. And the system is that each time the new container is brought and is exchanged to the one exhibited already, and then is a new opening. So in each of these 8 cities, we have 8 openings. So it's 8 times 8. And each time the viewer is brought a new, totally ready installation of the foreign artists, which is open for 1 week.
Obviously, we don't have room to mention them all, but I would like to ask about some of the different artists, maybe 1 or 2.
They're all very interesting, and they're all very different. There is, for example, Till Konecken from Switzerland, and actually within the project themes, which were this cultural heritage and post-internet theme, he went further. He became very close to very actual theme now, which is a little bit fragile to talk about, but it is like new cultures coming to the borders or not borders of European Union, and it's just a story. He doesn't say some messages or he doesn't say any pronouncements or something, but it's a story which could be understood in different ways, and it's up to viewer. Yeah, it came that this theme is also in our project through his work.
I also have it down here as a topic. Obviously, containers are in the news now because there are many of them being used to build temporary housing for migrants, for refugees who are coming into Europe. In broader terms, it seemed to me that you hit the nail on the head with even the name, the contain era, because it seems to me that that is exactly what we're going through now. So how do you reflect on that kind of coincidence?
Well, it is really coincidence. And when the project was starting, there was no such issue at all in Europe. And it's true that it's interesting how it came up that when Europe as such is reevaluating its cultures, and it's facing this different uncontrolled influences, and it's scared or opened. And in the meantime, our project is about the differences and commonness in the cultural way. So in this way we were visionists kind of, but technically it's a kind of problem also, because we are stopped on the road very often, and it's hard to explain that what exhibition is.
That was Alexandra Karpuchina, one of the people behind a new exhibition in Prague called Contain Era, or Contain Era. If you've got any comments about today's program here on Radio Prague, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.